thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we talk about our eventful weeks and we discuss two Pokemon anime episodes with some twists along the way. And I'm your host, Jacob, and I'm here with my co-host, Alex.
Oh, wow. That's a switch.
Switching it up.
I was sitting here thinking, oh, what am I going to say? But I have some time because he's going first, as he always does. And then you did that on me. Oh, my God. Ooh, surprise.
Well, Alex is here today, and
yes.
And we also have our other co-host, Austin.
Jacob, you ruined my bit the one time I had one planned.
Oh, no.
I was going to say Diglett dig, Diglett dig, and then I would assume Alex would chime in with trio, trio, trio. You ruined my bit.
Okay, well, we
should... No. No, this is better.
I love that the one time you switch it up.
Oh, my B. I'm the awfulest host there ever was.
Diglett dig, Diglett dig.
Trio.
There you go. Okay.
It's a little foreshadowing there, audience, of what we're going to be talking about today. I'm really sorry for getting us off on shaky waters, but I think we're going to hit some smooth sailing here in a bit when we talk about our eventful weeks, because, good Lord, we have had a, what would you call it, an eventful week, an exciting week, just... I mean, steamrolling energy. We're gonna start with Alex with that as well. We're just gonna mix it all up today. We're gonna go backwards.
Well, we had our little 4th of July get together, courtesy of Jacob and his lovely wife Leslie.
Little shindig.
Yes. So that was really fun. I enjoyed that. Got to see some fireworks up close and personal.
Austin, would you like to chime in on the party or anything else you did this week?
Thanks for inviting us over.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. I hope you had a good time. I hope the food was good. I hope it was all fun for you.
Shout out to Nicole for sending me a new Nintendo Switch dock, which I needed. Oh, still need.
Oh, yeah. You'll be getting that in August, I think she talked
about.
Okay,
great.
Actually mailing it to us.
Hi, Nicole.
And then so...
Hi, Nicole. Are you listening? Leave us a 5-star review, Nicole.
Oh, my God.
Yes, Nicole. Help us out. Please help us out. But yeah, she said she was like, mail it here, and then so you'll get it next time you come over.
Okay, great.
That was very nice of her.
Luckily, super nice of her.
It's a good thing though, Austin, because we discovered that it was just the dock and not the actual Switch console itself. So small victory with that.
Nintendo, you used to have your shit together when it came to hardware. What happened? What went wrong?
I'm gonna vent for a second because the. The Joy-Cons I got. Yeah. Have y'all got Drift yet?
I have. I sent it to Nintendo in New York to basically send me a new one.
Yeah, mine never got fixed. Okay.
You got it. They'll do it for free.
I got Drift within like 6 months of owning it. I don't know like how quickly yours came on, but mine was like 6 months into my drifting all over the place. It ruined Mario Kart, Animal... I mean, it ruined everything.
So what'd you do? Did you get a new controller?
Yeah, I just bought new controllers. Yeah,
they'll fix it for free.
I didn't know about that until you said it, so I feel kind of bad now. But the controllers I got now are working fantastic. And they're actually the ergonomically friendly ones, so my wrist doesn't hurt, and I don't get tendonitis in my elbow, and I don't get as frequent headaches, and I don't have, like, bleeding anymore, so that's helping out a lot.
Oh, well, that is good news.
Yep. So, is there anything else, Austin?
My new policy.
I know you're really happy about that.
As I told Jacob yesterday, my new policy when it comes to Jacob is I believe everything he says at face value. Everything he says is true.
I'm trying to get up to 70-30 with 70% true and 30% BS.
No, it's 100%. It's 100% true. It's 100%. I believe it all.
That's right,
And any consequences from that, that's your fault.
Yep. Yeah, it just makes playful banter. All conversation is serious. I literally bleed when I play Switch. I'm that invested.
Yeah, this super serious Pokemon podcast.
So for my week, I wanna pitch two things real quick. I've got my Steam sale games that I was talking about last week, and I didn't go with any of the ones I thought I was going to go with, except for I did get Among Us, but I actually got the Steins Gate visual novel. I don't know if you guys have seen that anime.
Is that what that is? The visual novel?
Yeah, it's like a visual novel thing.
Okay. I just know it has a weird semicolon in the title, and that confused me.
Yeah, they all kind of do. Like, all the ones made by this company, I can't remember, it's like 5PG or whatever, they all have that little semicolon thing in the middle of them. I guess it's like their trademark.
I hate it, but
anyway,
moving on.
I got that. You hate it? It's not proper English. But I got that, and I'm looking forward to playing that. And then I got Among Us 2, Among Us also. I'll be playing that, and I'll probably talk about it more next week as I jump into those games and still playing Civ. But I wanted to ask y'all, did y'all know Awesome Games Done Quick starts this week?
I don't know what that is.
You have no idea what that is. Alex, have you heard of this?
No, I have not.
Is it like National Novel Writing Month or something? But with video games?
Not exactly. Okay. But you're not close.
Oh.
So Awesome Games Done Quick is where the community of speedrunners gets together and they stream on Twitch for like a week straight, nonstop, completing of various games and titles. And I think they raise money for a charity, but the past few times it's been for like cancer research. This is like a little plug for them because it is actually really fun to watch if you guys want to check it out on Twitch and have it streaming in the background, or like they have the list of games on the website if there's a game you love and you want to see it beaten super quick or like in a way that you've never seen played before. I would recommend it if you guys would like to check it out.
Well, thank you for that recommendation.
I always like watching the Mario ones where people like jump through the floors of Mario 64 and stuff like that. That shit blows my mind.
Yeah, they always... They always do that, and they always find something new every time they play it. Like, one guy crashed the game and, like, rebooted it, and it put him next to Bowser, like, the ending level in 2 minutes
one time.
It's like, they're just... Yeah, they're really smart with how they approach it, and it's just something interesting to watch for the audience.
Well, that's a good recommendation. We'll check it out.
Jacob, you said you do Twitch stuff sometimes, streaming?
I do. I haven't done it frequently lately. Like, I don't stream enough to, like, plug a channel or anything like that. You know, if we ever get bored and want to expand the podcast media, we could try a stream or something.
I want to do that. I've never done that before. I want to.
You really do? Yeah.
I don't know what game.
We can do that.
Pokemon Puzzle League.
We could play any game. Yeah. We could set it up one night and we could just watch you play the game on Discord and comment over it.
I'm horrible at video games. Actually, maybe that's the fun part.
That is the fun part, but I am too. So I could play Civ or something. You guys could comment over it, or Among Us, or Steins Gate. But Steins Gate's kind of hard because it's slow and methodical compared to like a really fast-paced game.
That would be really fun.
To our 30-second summary challenge with our episodes this week. So I have the randomizer here. Oh my god, no. I got Diglett Dig.
Ah.
And Alex got the...
Yeah,
the ninja episode.
God, that one was even worse.
I know.
Austin, you're Diglett so lucky.
Diglett Dig. Oh my gosh. Okay. I hate... Oh no. Oh no. Oh,
no, Austin, you can tell by my reaction. Lead the discussion.
I'll try my best.
Yeah, we'll help you out, Austin, of course.
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, my God.
I sort of blacked out during the ninja episode, so this will be a real treat. Oh God.
Yeah, I never do. I never do this well. So just set your bar really low.
Honestly,
I mean, it's like,
I kind of feel like you should just like fuck around with it, like Clint style.
Okay. Okay.
Make it your own thing.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready?
Oh God.
Okay, I'll just make it my own thing. Okay, I think I got something to roll with.
Okay.
I think I got something to roll with.
Okay.
Good luck.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so the Keystone Pipeline is trying to be constructed, and a bunch of activists are there trying to stop it by destroying the material being used to build the pipeline. And there's some kids that show up that join the activists, but they don't realize activists are the good people till the mid part of the episode when they realize that the Diglett are, not the, the activists, my bad, not the Diglett, are trying to rebuild the forest around the pipeline. And so then the kids transition over along with the crew trying to build the pipeline to see that the activists are actually right all along and you shouldn't destroy nature
time.
For human benefit. Boom.
Oh, that reminds me. I had to cut out the bit from the last episode where I recapped all the Rocky movies instead of the Hitmonchan episode. That all had to get cut out.
Oh, no.
Because of my horrible mic.
Oh, no. That was funny, too.
So do you want to redo that, or are you good?
I'm good. That's the best I could do. It won't get any better than that.
That was more fun. I don't know about you, but that was more fun for me.
That's what I'll do in my 30-second summaries. I'll try to relate them to actual life events.
World history with Jacob.
All right, so I'll take lead on this one.
Take control.
We start out with the twerps wandering aimlessly, as they always do. And the narrator notes that several months have passed since the first episode, which, questionable.
I'm glad that you noted that, Austin, because...
I did too.
Time apparently passes in this universe, but it simultaneously doesn't pass. So it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jacob.
I figured out what's going on.
Oh, Christ.
Have you seen that, like, Mr. McGonagall? It's like Mrs. McGonagall's House of, like, Abnormals or whatever that movie is. It's like a Tim Burton movie.
McGonagall?
Mrs. McGonagall.
McGonagall? Yeah, something like that. It's something like that.
It's not McGonagall.
It's not McGonagall. Is that Harry Potter?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Oh, my bad. It's like something like that. And In Particulars is what they're called, I think. And that's a movie about kids that, like, time passes, but the kids never age.
Mrs. Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Oh, yeah, Peculiar, not Impeculiar.
Mrs. McGonagall.
Mrs. McGonagall. I get my names mixed up. But anyway, yeah, so she, in that movie, the kids get stuck in a time loop, so time never progresses. But, like, actual events occur in their lives. So they're progressing in life without time transpiring forward. So that's what we got going on here. It's confirmed. It's canon. Keep going, Austin.
Okay, I mean, also Peter Pan, but whatever. that might be a bit more well-known example. Anyway.
Great point.
So the twerps have been wandering around. It's been, how many episodes has it been since they saw Erica? Has it only been two? Because I feel like, okay, they beat Erica or whatever. They saved her gloom from fire, and Erica said, get the fuck out. They went to Hop Hop Top Town for no discernible reason, and they got Psyduck and Vulpix. Then they went to the
Scissor Me Street.
Yeah, the Scissor Me Street.
Oh,
the
right.
P1 tournament, and then Gringy City. And I'm like, where the fuck are y'all going? Because now they're like, oh, where are we going next? What's our next adventure going to be? And Ash is like, a gym. And I'm like, fucking thank you, Ash. We need to make some progress here.
Yeah.
Oh, just wait till we get to Alola, and there are no gyms, and they do absolutely nothing. Every episode.
Hey.
Sorry. Hey. Sorry. My bitterness is seeping through. Keep going.
So they decide they're going to go to Fuchsia City. They're actually not going to go to the Fuchsia City. They're going to go to the Fuchsia Gym, but we'll get to that later. And Brock's like, it's over that mountain. And they're like, which mountain? And that Brock's like, I'm a fucking idiot who doesn't know how to read a topography map. And so they don't know where they're going. But thankfully, they have wandered into a filler plot. Because
I got a question real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, go for it.
Are they trading off who's trying to read the map each episode? Or is it literally Brock every episode getting lost and
I think
trying to find out where they're going?
I think it's Brock.
You think it's all Brock just can't... Do they rely on him so much because he's the oldest that they expect him to be able to just read?
Well, he's the geologist, isn't he? I mean, he's like the rock guy. He's supposed to be able to know how to read maps. And
he should just be able to touch
land.
A rock and know where to go.
This is why he stopped being a rock gym leader.
Oh. because he was so bad.
Brock should have been, he should have been more like Daryl from The Walking Dead or something like that, where he just like is a good tracker and he can feel the dirt and say, oh, this is west, without using a compass. That'd have been a lot cooler.
Could he use the sun to navigate? I feel like that'd be a lot easier than touching the ground.
That's cooler, though. Oh, using
is
the
it?
Dirt.
Is it cooler?
Yeah.
Or is cooler. It incredibly stupid?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Alex, you used to like Norman Reedus a lot.
Yeah, well, I haven't watched The Walking Dead series in many years because from what I've read and understood or heard through the grapevine, I don't know, but apparently it went really downhill. So I think I stopped watching after like a few seasons. So I don't know the status of the characters. I don't have a clue what's happening. I wish they would have ended it years ago, you know, went out gracefully, but apparently not.
Money ruins a lot of things.
I watched the first season before it was really popular. And then I stopped watching by before the end of the first season because I was like, I don't give a shit about zombies.
That was like the zombie renaissance.
Yeah, and I was over it.
Yeah.
I was over it.
Twilight.
There were not zombies in Twilight, were there?
Well, there was the vampires or zombies. Okay. We were going on these weird mystical creature binge.
What? Oh, I was like, wait, when were there zombies in Twilight? There was werewolves, but...
We transitioned. It was like vampires were cool for like 3 years, and now zombies were like the thing for 3 years.
You know, the current thing is alternate timelines. And I read like this article about it. It was like this like social theory about like, we've all fucking given up on our reality. So we're all like, what if it went differently? And that's why all of our sci-fi fantasy stuff right now, the popular thing is different realities and multiverse and all that.
That's kind of sad in a way. Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, it's like, oh, we hate our own real life reality so much that we have to invent what if scenarios. Like
that explains why I bought Steins Gate, because that's exactly the premise of that game.
Oh my god,
that's kind of weird. Maybe it's saying a lot about me than me wanting to actually just play a game.
So, what are our current examples? Sorry to derail this, but like the current examples, we've got Loki.
All the Marvel and DC stuff, Spider-Verse.
Yeah, the Marvel, the Doctor Strange thing that's coming out, Multiverse of Madness or whatever.
What other media could we demonstrate? I'm trying to think like what is popular as far. I don't think there's any like drama stuff that's super big right now. Oh, Austin, you mentioned one earlier about like the people with special needs solving crimes. That was popular there for a while.
That was popular there for a while. Yeah.
I remember for that one.
I mean, Prodigal Son is the most recent one I can think of those, but, you know, I'm behind on my TV.
You had the geek culture renaissance as well with all these different, like, mythical monsters.
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
I don't know. People are like, it's cool to be nerdy now or
something
like that.
Oh, yeah, that's been the case forever.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that was kind of like the first domino to fall, where it was like all this media, like Loki and all the Marvel stuff started being published after it was like, it was really weird that became a thing after that. But yeah, I can't think of any like other examples at the moment, except for that time paradox thing you were talking about, Austin.
There are other examples. I just can't think of anything because I'm an idiot. Anyway, so the twerps are going through the mountain. And...
back to Pokemon.
And they find...
Yeah, back to Pokemon.
There's just like this weird thing with space. Not like outer space, but like spatial awareness. Because both the twerps and Team Rocket are close enough to see an enormous fleet of 18-wheelers drive by on a dirt road. But I couldn't quite figure out where they were in relation to the trucks. And then all of the trucks have like a 30 truck pileup. And not a single person is killed.
We
I think they were automatic.
See anyone get out of the truck?
We saw one individual got out of the truck.
Yeah, maybe they all died.
No, they didn't. It was one of those like, it was one of those auto drive semi trucks they're talking about trying to make now.
So one guy was in charge.
Yes,
of that entire...
he was the beacon. Okay. Yeah, he was the GPS guy that like they were all following. So
did he have a name? This 4-man person?
Yes, it was Daniel.
Is it really? When did they say that? I didn't even notice that.
It's in the light novel.
Oh, okay, great. Remember, Jacob, I remember every single thing you say now.
Daniel the Foreman.
Okay, Daniel the Foreman is what we're going to call him.
God.
You got to have a name for him.
We discover that the 30 truck pileup was caused by Diglett. And now we're in a different road. We're in a different concrete road in which the Diglett are causing upturned earth. to create small cracks in the road, which cause all the trucks to crash. I was very confused about the scenery.
These are just some bad drivers or some bad autonomous trucks.
Eat shit, Elon Musk.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna work. Give up.
Anyway, Daniel concludes that the twerps are the first group of Pokemon trainers that have come to eliminate the Diglett in exchange for a stay at a spa again, another hotel stay. And Ash eagerly is like, oh, we, you mean all we have to do is kill these Diglett and we get to stay at a hotel? Which is a pattern with him, interestingly enough.
It's blood for blood.
But it turns out, no, the twerps ain't shit, because the actual first group of trainer is Gary, and all the other trainers in these buses.
Yeah, so that part disturbed me, with Ash talking about how he wanted to get back at the Diglett immediately. I guess it was kind of like a blood for blood thing, like, because apparently these wrecks have happened a lot before. So Daniel may be like the eighth foreman trying to build this thing. We don't know. There could have been like seven previous... Trying to combine some words there.
Stevius foreman that was have... the name of the previous foreman.
Oh, yeah. Stevius died. And the
Diglett killed him. His corpse is being used for a tree.
If you want to get really... Yeah, if you want to get really deep about it, so many people died trying to build this dam that they had to resort to automation to get the thing built. It's kind of like what's going on in the Pacific right now with how, like, the fires burn in the ocean and they can't send people in, so they got to send all these robots in.
Robots.
To try to put it out.
Robots.
Okay, yep. Zoidberg. Bird.
And so that's what we got going on here.
A very topical episode. Also, our second episode in a row with a Captain Planet environmentalist slant.
Yes. It is very much so.
I also like how the problem is all these trucks and hardware is being upturned by the Diglett, so they bring in seven buses full of young people on the same road.
They crashed the buses, so what's up with that?
I think they realized people were on those. Maybe they kind of had some guilt trips. They could sense the people, the vibrations of people talking on the bus, or it's like, well, we can't destroy those.
Yeah, the Diglett, they're smart.
I'm sorry. This whole time... All I could think of was that how nightmarishly terrible a Diglett is. Like, what does it look like underneath? That's all I could think of. And then that terrible picture that somebody drew of, like, the evil, like, Cthulhu monster thing underneath the ground. And Diglett's just, like, its little, like, fake antenna thing.
Jacob, have you seen Diglett's that particular monstrous one?
I have seen that one. It's kind of like that that one fish where, like, it has that fake...
Yeah, the angler fish.
Yeah, the angler fish. It has that fake thing on the front, and people go towards it, and underneath it literally drags you to hell.
Yeah, Diglett's a horrifying entity to me.
I think they're cute. Hot take.
You say that until they drag you underground. And...
Well, I've never tried to destroy the environment before, so if anything, I'm on their side.
They call it a bug first, don't they? Don't they refer to Diglett as like a bug Pokemon?
Daniel does.
Or something like
Daniel
that?
The foreman.
Daniel does. Oh, yeah.
Because he's an idiot.
Okay, his last name is Foreman. Daniel Foreman.
Daniel Foreman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then Stevius Foreman.
That was his brother.
They're all brothers that have died in this thing. Eighth one in line trying to build this dam.
Anyway, Gary shows up. Okay, the scene with Gary interacting with the twerps and all that, that was really fun. Did y'all enjoy that as much
that was
as I
good.
Did?
Yes.
I love Gary.
There was a lot of, like, them being silly and interacting like stupid kids. Like, I don't even remember what all happened. Gary go on.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to ask, is this the first time that Gary and Ash have actually had, like, a face-to-face conversation?
Beauty and the Beach.
But
that didn't happen in America.
Yeah, right. That didn't happen. Exactly.
Because he seemed genuinely surprised. He's like, oh, hey, it's Ash. Like, they're meeting for the first time.
Yeah. So. I wonder if the dub maybe changed the lines a little bit for that to happen.
Possibly. So what were you saying before?
There was a lot happening. There was a long sequence. Gary keeps on trying to lord his groupies over Ash and be like, you shouldn't be jealous of my Pokemon. You should be jealous of all my beautiful girlfriends. And Ash is like... Are they Pokemon? Because Ash is a fucking idiot.
That was Ash.
Oh my gosh.
Right there.
We got really creepy Brock.
Brock
too.
Was going for it.
Yes.
Like the whole
that
episode.
That was really weird. Yes. Oh my gosh. With the, when Gary introduces his groupies or whatever, what does he say? Something about like, I don't know, like, who cares about their age if you're desperate enough?
Whoa, like that. Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah,
did he say
the girls, I wrote this in all caps. How old are the girls?
Yes, yes, I assume they're, like, I'm going with, like, 11 or 12.
The girls? They drive a car.
No way.
I'm going with that. Older. Well, Gary's driving the car, isn't he?
No.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm thinking, like, they're younger. They're maybe, like, 13 or something like that. I don't know how they're driving. Ash can drive a boat. Remember that. We don't know the age limits restrictions here. We do not know the age limit restrictions, especially with all the autonomous cars being around.
Maybe it's an autonomous car.
Like,
convertible.
Yeah, it may be. Yeah, she just fake drives it. Plus, there's no laws anyway. There's, like, 12 in a four-seater with no seatbelts on. Okay? There's not any laws with this.
I was thinking these girls were older, like 16, 17.
I was thinking that too.
Okay, I hope they
were.
But
then it gets super weird because Brock is like asking for their numbers, and what do they say? They say, like, do they call him an old man?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought. No, they referred him as an old man.
No, I thought they agreed. They were like, okay, you know, kind of thing.
Oh, they called him sir.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it a little better.
They all the girls do is say yes, sir. And he takes it as, do you think I'm old? Which I don't think is what that implies.
No, I don't know.
There was some sort of pun we didn't get over in English. I don't know.
I don't guess not.
But it's weird because Brock's not old.
I bet they called him Sensei or something like that.
Sensei.
And the Japanese one. And then, like, maybe that made him feel old or whatever.
How old is Gary supposed to be?
10. He's Ash's age.
Just like Ash? Oh, okay.
Remember, he started the same day.
Right, okay.
How close was Gary to Ash for him to get there like that? Like, because they talk about Gary being so far advanced that, like, he's light years ahead of Ash.
Well,
but
first of all, Gary's driving around in a car versus Ash and friends walking around.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Second of all, I guess they were all called in, so they could have been anywhere.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. All the autonomous cars come barraging in.
All right, so there's a lot of bickering. Gary and his groupies drive ahead, but we all meet up at the dam construction site. At which Gary again, that's when Daniel says the Diglett are bug Pokemon and Gary corrects him. And I wanted to point out all throughout this episode, this is really the first time we've ever seen Gary extensively, even though it wasn't the biggest role in the world. He already has a streak of looking at Pokemon from an analytical perspective. He has all this knowledge about them just off the top of his head, and he cares about their unique traits and characteristics. It's just, like, intuitive for him to do this kind of stuff. And I wrote down...
That's...
Yeah, y'all thought that too?
Yeah, that's exactly what I wrote down in my notes. I was like, how come there's so much ignorance from everybody but Gary? Like, everybody. But it makes a little bit of sense, but what'd you write down?
I wrote down, oh my god, did they already have planned from the very beginning that Gary was going to not continue to be a Pokemon trainer and he was going to follow in his grandfather's footsteps instead?
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah, that's how the original series ends.
That's how exactly I was thinking, because it makes sense that he's under Oak's tutelage for so long that he just really kind of grasped what Oak was preaching, really, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that's how we get Gary from being like a smug little brat to he's actually like really smart and analytical.
Yeah, he's definitely a smug little brat. Like, he's like bullying Ash to his face. Yeah.
Like, with no cares in the world, you know? He's like, look at this Corvette and Porsche I got. Look at all these women that follow me. Yeah.
I mean, Gary's an immature little brat, but we can see the characteristics that will make him to be a more mature character we know later.
So, yeah. I have a question. So, Gary is obviously very knowledgeable about the Pokemon and basically has, like, an encyclopedic knowledge, you know, of the Diglett. Like, I think at one point he says, oh, they can, you know... When Daniel the Foreman was trying to, like, play whack-a-mole with the Diglett, he was like, oh, that's not going to work because they can pull their heads underground at 186,282 miles per hour or per second, which is the speed of light. And the whole time I was sitting there thinking, okay, Gary, who is the grandson of Professor Oak, who gave Ash and presumably the other kids the Pokedex, knows more than the actual Pokedex.
Oh, like, yeah.
Oak supposed to be the one to have, like, programmed this thing? So I don't understand how Dexter doesn't know shit about shit.
Dexter's a piece of shit. It is awful.
I think it really comes down to that, yeah. Like, Oak made the Pokedex as, like, a intro kind of gadget thing to kind of, like, maybe give you, like, a small little brief description, but like Gary went like deeper.
So why does he even need to have other people go around and fill out the Pokedex when he's got his grandson Gary?
To make them feel like they're doing something.
I think the anime has already become very clear at this point. It's not like the original Red Blue concept where it was like, you gotta go discover the Pokemon and fill out the Pokedex. It's more like, this is the rite of passage for young people in this world where they do a Pokemon journey and all this. And like, you know, we discussed this before. The whole thing where presumably the majority of kids do it for a few months and then go back home and resume their lives. And Ash is the rare exception to that. But
possibly,
I guess
it's kind of like that thing that the Amish people do, where you get the
what is that called?
To go out and just like, yeah, I don't care what it's called, but it's kind of like that where you kind of get to go live your life for a week and decide if you want to go out and continue down that way or if you want to come back home. So that's just what I'm keeping in my head, that this Pokemon journey is like. I can't remember what it's called though.
So I guess Gary's journey that we'll kind of see bits and pieces of is he went out with the same Pokemon training thing. But what he ends up discovering is what he really wants to do as a career path in life, which we see.
Unlike Ash.
Hints of. Well, I mean, Ash does accomplish his goals, kind of.
I don't know.
The ways he accomplishes them is questionable. But
we're not at good Ash yet. We're not at confident Ash.
No, not even towards the end of these episodes, but we'll see.
Anyway, I also like how I noted Gary knows the speed of light off the top of his head. That's really... that's like really impressive, and also really impressive of the Diglett for being able to go at the speed of light. I don't think that's possible, but okay.
You know what really bothers me with hearing how smart Gary is and how wise he is when it comes to Pokemon and how rich we know Oak is? How come Gary didn't go to one of those private schools that we saw earlier?
That's a good question.
Yeah, he could just like, he would be a Pokemon master at like 12 in 2 years or something like that. Because he would just be able to pass every grade with the speed of light.
I don't know. Gary is he's a little bit of a snob, but I think deep down he's a morally decent person. So we could have a whole episode dedicated to the morality of Gary. But...
we could have an entire series about the morality of Paul. Anyway.
Oh, boy. Oh, I'm so excited. Don't even get me started on that. Okay.
Anyway, Gary is the first trainer to throw out his Pokeball, and it simply... Does anyone have any Pokeball mechanics thoughts on that?
So the Pokemon are in control.
Yes. They can refuse orders and decide not to come out.
Has this happened before? Like in a previous episode?
I don't think so.
That we've watched? Mm-hmm. It hasn't. This is the first time we see this? Because I know what happens is like in the future.
It does?
A few times, but I think so. Maybe in the movies.
They clearly have free will. In terms of whether or not they want to come out on their... I mean, Psyduck comes out on its own.
That's true.
But they can also refuse not to come out when called. So
They won't come out because they'll harm the Diglett.
Somehow all the Pokemon in their Pokeballs are aware that the Diglett are staging an activism protest, and they're all on their side, including Pikachu, who's all like, no, I'm out.
Which kind of goes back to the theory that Diglett is more than just what we see pop up above the surface. Maybe there's this, like, orifice underneath that's projecting telekinesis or something.
It's like that Lovecraftian creature Alex was mentioning.
Yeah.
It's mind-controlling.
This thing that looks like, just like Tretchen. I think the trees that are growing back are actually part of the Diglett.
We have proof that Diglett have more knowledge than they should be able to have. Because Diglett, all the Pokemon trainers stupidly throw hundreds of Pokeballs into a giant pile.
Yeah.
All the Diglett know which ball belongs to which trainer, and they politely return them to each.
Oh, that is a good point.
Yeah, they're part of a hive mind of a greater creature.
They're all connected to the same creature at the center of the Earth.
Yes. It's like the Flood in Halo. There's the grave mind that controlling every single one of them to do their bidding.
Okay, that's disturbing. It makes me hate Diglett even more.
But they were so polite. They were so cute.
No, I'm sorry. You can't convince me otherwise.
Not to break the streak real quick, but this episode was kind of weird, because in the games, it's a cave, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like a featureless cave that's diagonal.
Yeah, so I think the messaging here is what they were going for was, like, pretty thought of from the beginning. We're not going to put them in a cave like the game. We're going to put them on a hillside being destroyed or deforestation kind of thing going on here.
Captain Planet, He's a hero. Anyway, so all the trainers leave. Gary leads. Gary's been in charge of all these people. He's like, this is worthless. He makes his comment about the Daniel Foreman doing his whack-a-mole shit. And they all leave, except for the twerps, who get a free hotel spa stay.
They didn't even do anything, and somehow they still got the free hotel stay, so I don't get that, but whatever.
I wouldn't be complaining.
That bothered me how Gary just dipped out. He comes there and talks such a hype game, and then, like, the moment Pokemon will come out, he's like, well, I don't care, I'm leaving. See y'all. My dad owns 8 hotels with baths that I could just go in at any time, so.
I actually have thoughts about that, but I'm going to save it. Ooh. So.
Okay.
Okay. Just interject whenever.
Yeah.
So Team Rocket, meanwhile, is depressed because Ekans and Coughing wouldn't be able to stop 300 people from defeating them. They think that we have to induce evolution in them, which they
that was weird.
They accidentally do by crying, and their tears of love for their Pokemon cause them to both evolve into the iconic Arbok and Wizard.
Charbok. Perfect.
Weezing doesn't look like an evolution. He looks like a downgrade.
He looks like he's suffering.
That thing looks like miserable. It looks like an experiment gone wrong in a movie where the monster just looks at people and goes, kill me or something. It looks like decrepit and...
I disagree. I like Weezing. I think it's completely dumb in its own way, but I like it.
I wish they had done better with its voice, because I know in the Japanese version, both the big Weezing and the little Weezing both have their own individual voices that they talk in sync. There's like a high-pitched one and a deeper voice one, and I wish they'd done that in the dub.
Why they didn't do that? That's awesome. That'd be like that Ichi ni Kevin.
Oh, jeez.
Godzilla reference.
Thank you. I mean, I think they kind of tried to do it. There's like a reverb, like a... I can't even do it. Like, oh, God.
Oh my God.
I can't do it. I guess I don't have
two
heads.
You sound like a smoker having an attack.
Well, they could have done better. Meanwhile, the twerps are bathing and they follow the Diglett and they realize the Diglett are terraforming the fountainside, which Brock foolishly says means they must be responsible for every force in the world, which maybe is true if all the Diglets are a hive mind that are available at all locations at all times.
That makes them even more terrifying.
Maybe they did terraform the world.
That's what I'm thinking. So the only reason cities exist is because this Diglett hive mind has, like, portioned out some land for people to live on.
Designated areas. Like,
yeah,
humans.
Like, you can live here. But it put these cities in specific spots. Huh. Maybe all these cults we've mentioned have, like, are under control of the hive mind of the Diglett.
Oh my god, now we're getting, like, really into it. They're all worshiping. What if, like, Diglett's, like the Antichrist figure in a post opposition to Arceus?
Yeah. Oh, forget about Giratina, I guess. It's Diglett.
Oh my god.
I do want to point out Brock makes a mistake during this part. He says at one point, he's like, oh, this is where all the Diglett and Dugtrio live. And he says, oh, the Diglett plow the ground and the Dugtrio plant the trees, but that's actually the opposite of what we see on the screen. It's the Dugtrio that are plowing the field and then the Diglets who are propping up the little trees. So I'm like, oh, they got that wrong.
This is a bad episode for Brock. He's like striking out everywhere. Everything he says is wrong.
Brock didn't have a good showing
in
this
episode. He's
doing okay.
He's just trying to, you know, dot the T's and cross the I's.
It's the same for the next episode where he says, a metamorphosis attack? And Misty has to be the one who says, no, it just evolved, you idiot.
That was weird. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay. That was really weird.
Okay.
I highlighted that deeply in my notes.
Anyway, Daniel Foreman followed the twerps because he had been watching them in their bathing suits for a while, and he knew where they were going to go. Team Rocket attacks.
Ew, that's creepy.
And
he was really sweaty, too, when he saw them.
Oh, ew.
Daniel announces that the dam construction project is now off because Diglets want to plant trees, which I don't think Daniel has that authority to cancel a multi-million dollar project.
Who's
it bothered
funding
me so
this?
Much.
Yeah.
His brothers all died for nothing if this dam doesn't get built.
Maybe the Diglett were mind controlling him. I don't know.
He became subject to the hive mind. This should have had him sitting there like with his eyes whited out. I think I'm going to go home now. It seems like building this dam would be a bad idea. just gets in the he gets in the passenger side of the dump truck and it just takes off.
I'd like to note that during this whole time, they say they're constructing a dam, but I didn't see a lake or any kind of body of water at all.
No.
So what exactly is the purpose of this?
Was it not a dam? I wasn't even paying attention.
It was just like a portion of a wall, really.
It looked like a retaining wall.
Yeah.
Than it did like a dam. There's like, no water at all.
The lake that supposedly they're damming up. I don't even... Whatever.
There was hot springs.
Yeah, well, that doesn't count.
No, it doesn't.
I think it could have been a dam if they were trying to, like, redirect water to that area.
I mean, it could have been a man-made... They could have been doing a man-made lake situation. Oh, wait.
We did see a vision of the Pokemon drowning.
What?
We had a...
We do, yeah.
It was, like, Rattatas and shit, and, like, they were being swept away by water.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What? I don't recall seeing this at all.
It was really quick.
Oh, my God. Okay.
It was, like, it was an imagined spot. It didn't actually happen.
Jesus, I missed that, I guess, but...
But you're right, where was the water? Yeah.
I think I may have been mistaken. I think it was a man-made lake situation, because they were going to flood the area.
Okay.
So...
Maybe just, they were going to build a new city and needed, like, a water supply or something like that.
God, Diglett will not have that.
How did I miss the sequence of the Rattatas drowning?
It was really fast.
It's like still frames.
Yeah. God, yeah. Okay.
Anyway, Team Rocket attacks, and Diglett and Dugtrio take that as their time to have a full frontal assault, because they create a wave of the Earth and attack Team Rocket, but they also destroy the construction project in a moment. They could have done that at any time, I'm just saying.
I think they were waiting for the plot moment.
They waited for Daniel to announce the project off, and now he's say no more. We're on it.
So that just means they were teasing him the whole time. So they were just causing just enough like chaos to where it would like just set him back like a week. So like every time we make a bit of progress, it would just keep going back.
Diglett's our cruel creature.
So we may not even talk about millions. We may be talking about like multi-millions if they just continuously kept disrupting the same process over and over again. You know, and theoretically, if those trucks crashed each time trying to get up there, they'd have to replace the trucks as well. So, I mean, these Diglets have wrecked this economy for this area, so way to go, Hive Mind.
But it's for the best, apparently. So that's it. That's the episode. Brock says, and Fuchsia Gym is just over that mountain. I'm like, Brock, when the fuck did you figure that out? But...
That's where they were in the beginning.
Though, I know.
Literally at the beginning, they're like, oh, it's just over the mountain. And Brock at the end acts like, oh, and good thing, we're almost there. It's just over the mountain. I'm like, you literally made no progress, but whatever.
He's just guessing. Even says,
he's just pointing and saying,
at some point. This wasn't, I guess this episode wasn't a total waste.
Oh, God. I don't know. It was kind of a waste to me.
What were you trying to say earlier, Alex?
About what?
I don't know. You said, ooh, I got something to say later.
Oh, about Gary.
Yeah.
But it's for our MVP, LVP segment.
All right.
But I have to wait my turn to say it.
That was an excellent transition right there. Excellent segue. Excellent segue. So now let's move on to our MVP and LVP, where we pick our most valuable player and our least valuable player. Remember the rules, no repeats. And also, we're going to do the quote that impacted us the most this episode, because there were so many good quotes. All right, let me get the randomizer ready. Austin, me, Alex.
All right.
Oh, no. Okay. Don't pick my person.
Okay. My MVP is Daniel Foreman.
Damn it!
Sorry. We didn't really talk about him very much, but he was funny. He was crazed. He was manic. He was gonna kill those fucking Diglets. And he was, like, so pathetic. I felt so bad for him the whole time. He's just a working grunt who's... Well, I mean, he's the only person working there. Yeah.
And he's ignorant of Pokemon as well.
Yeah, but then he sees the Diglets planting trees, and he's like, oh, I didn't realize they were alive, I guess. And so he single-handedly cancels the project, probably got fired and sued by the company, and his life was ruined to save some Diglets. So good for him.
Poor Daniel Foreman.
Good for him. He has high... I think this is the Pokemon world. They all have high moral standards, so there's probably no negative consequences for him. They were like,
we should have named him George Foreman.
We didn't do a simple environmental survey before we started this project.
They have a universal basic income. Remember we discussed this with Delia and how she lives, like, presumably with no work. So I think Daniel Foreman's okay.
Yep. And by the way, George Foreman did not become the foreman who was being killed by Diglett because he was too busy with his grills.
Oh. That's right. Oh my
God. Thank you for that joke, Jacob.
You think those Diglett are a problem? My steak won't cook.
My LVP is going to be Dexter. Because Dexter states, once again, that he has no information available on Doug Trio. Dexter, you don't have information on Doug Trio? What are you even for? You're worthless. Throw that Pokédex in the trash.
It literally could have said, Doug Trio are just a trio of Diglets who come together.
It digs holes.
Yeah, anything. Yeah, literally anything.
Dexter's the worst.
Dexter.
I guess my quote's going to be Ash talking to Team Rocket at the end of the episode saying, oh, Team Rocket, I forgot about them. Sorry, guys, but we're not in the mood right now, okay?
He's so done with your crap. Although, to be fair, Meowth, didn't he, like, jump in before that? He was like, look, they've heard it all before.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did say that. He's like, they get it.
You don't need to keep going through this every time.
Alrighty, so you stole my MVP, Austin, but I'll give my MVP to, I'm going to go with a double dose here of Arbok and Weezing.
Aww.
For realizing the love and affection that their trainers have for them and taking that into consideration as they go through extreme painful process of evolving. And yeah, I assume it's painful because look how Weezing looks. Look how Weezing looks after. It can't be good. Can't be fun.
What about Arbok? Arbok seems like it's okay, but.
Yeah, but whatever. Anyway, it's painful that my LVP was Gary, because he was kind of like even though he showed his analytical skills, he was kind of just a smug little brat, and when things didn't go his way, he just peeled out instead of trying to actually keep helping. Once the prize became not something that he could win, he just dipped out, you know, and that bothered me. You should help out when you say you're going to help out. And then my quote, as we have a out of the drawing pan first here, and my quote comes from the narrator.
Ooh.
At the end says, this just comes to show you that if you do a little digging, you can always find something good.
Mm-hmm. Aw, that was a very good lesson.
Alrighty, Alex, your go.
So, this is what I was saving, and thank you. If you guys had originally picked Gary for MVP, I want to thank you for letting me have it. Because I have a different take than you, Jacob. I think that Gary was the MVP for this episode because I don't think he dipped out. I don't see it that way. I don't think that he was selfishly like, oh, well, there's no prize. You know, there's nothing left for me here. I'm going to go. I think that he was very mature and he knew when he needed to move on. He said, you know, if the Pokemon won't come out in battle, there's no reason for trainers to be here and, you know, continue to cause problems unless you want to watch Daniel Foreman act the fool and keep playing whack-a-mole with the Diglett. But, you know, I also thought, like when we were talking about before, you know, he was showing off some of his Pokemon Professor Chops. He was very smart. He knew more than Dexter this episode.
Well, so does everyone.
And yeah, so does everyone. That hard. Maybe it's bar. Not a hard hurdle to jump, but I was impressed with Gary. I thought he was very knowledgeable and mature. And then I think he used the guise of like, oh, this is too lame and, you know, there's nothing for me here, so peace out. But I really think he's like, okay, well, there's no reason for trainers to keep causing trouble, so we're going to leave the Diglett in their natural environment alone. So, on to the next thing. So, I was proud of him. And the LVP, I put Brock. Because he was an absolute creep this episode. Like, trying to get people's numbers and names and just being really weirdly desperate and not in, like, a funny or endearing way. So.
And it was anybody's number. It was like, I'm going to cast the whole net out there and see which one I pull out of the water.
Yeah, he didn't even care as long as he just got somebody. And I'm like, okay, that's enough, Brock.
Could have been Daniel's.
Yeah, he could have got Daniel Foreman's number.
That's my fan fiction.
Oh, God, what quote did I even pick? There wasn't a lot of good quotes for this episode. I guess maybe at the beginning where James and Jesse are observing this construction happening and James says, maybe we're being attacked by aliens from another planet. Like, okay.
Oh, that I forgot to mention that bothered me too, how the kids just run directly towards the explosions instead of like actually being away from them. That just goes to show that any kind of like diabolical situation, Ash would just run towards, like the fire and
That's just
falling off a cliff.
That's Ash just sticking his nose in where it doesn't belong. And so that's, again, why Gary is better, because he knows when to get the hell out and leave things alone. So
well said. Well done. Very well done. Any more thoughts or opinions there, Betty, or does that conclude our thoughts?
I think we've all said what we need to say about Diglett.
All right. After episode 30, that concludes episode 31. Dig those, Diglett. Now let's move on to episode 32, the Ninja Pokey Showdown. Oh, Alex, you've got a...
I hate this.
Actually really is a tough hurdle to get over.
I hate this so much. Oh, God.
Just do what I did and just BS it.
Get ready.
Be all right.
Okay.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so in this episode, we go to the village hidden in the leaves, where we meet a young boy with yellow hair who's possessed by a fox demon. No, I'm kidding. Ash and they come across a mansion in the woods, which isn't in Fuchsia City, but it's the ninja gym, and they meet Aya, the ninja warrior girl, who challenges Ash to a battle after Ash almost dies several times in their trick room weird hellscape hole. And then they meet Koga, and they battle, and Team Rocket's there, and they also battle, and eventually Ash beats Koga and wins the soul badge, and Charmander saves the day. Hooray.
That's great.
Okay, time, I guess. Good.
Yeah. Wait, did we end? This can't still be going on.
They're done. It's done.
You've got another 15 seconds.
When did it end?
I don't know. I stopped being indigent.
Oh my God.
Great summary.
Oh my God.
Y'all are trying to murder me, I swear.
No, that's Daniel Foreman trying to do that.
I tried to take a page out of Jacob's book and do something wacky.
It took me a second. I did. I was like, Village of the Leaves? What? I forgot all about Naruto.
Naruto.
I did too, yeah. I just remember them running.
Yeah, the running.
The run.
All right. So we're heading to Fuchsia Lord. Gym, which again is not in Fuchsia City. It's in the middle of fucking nowhere. I wonder Brock couldn't find it on his map. Misty.
Okay, wait. Sorry. I have to say one thing. Apparently, the twerps don't know where this mansion is, and apparently, like, this whole time, they're like, oh, where's the gym? We didn't know this was the gym. But at some point, James says, this is the famous ninja mansion. So what is it? Is it a well-known mansion, or is it a place in the middle of nowhere? I don't know. Sorry.
I think, that James would know about it because we do know his background, even though we don't know it yet. So there is a reason that James would know of, like, the prep school and like the famous mansions.
Well, it clearly isn't that famous, but
these are the same people who didn't know about the giant robot theme park.
True.
Yeah. This is the Pokemon Lovers Club.
Oh, geez.
Kind of people we got going on here where it's like this inner circle conflict going on.
This pissed me off because I'm like, it's inconsistent, is what it is. Anyway.
Anyway, we get some setup where Misty wants to get rid of Psyduck. She wants to trade it for Vulpix. Brock is so charmed by Vulpix's beauty because Susie's so great, I guess. They all wander into the ninja mansion. They just introduce themselves into this giant building. They're like, hello? Is anyone there? Is this a Japanese restaurant?
I got a quick question before we go. Sorry, I should have interjected earlier. But have you ever heard of a cold water getting rid of a headache?
Oh, yeah, that flew me off. Okay, Misty says cold water.
We're gonna take it back. There's two things I should interject before this. The one is the sketchy bridge.
Oh yeah, it's like a plank.
It's just like it's like 2x4 plank that someone just somehow like rednecked across the river. And then we have some doctor notes about how to get rid of a headache.
Does cold water worsen a headache? I've never heard that in my life. Is that
true?
It can
give you a brain freeze if you drink it too fast, which I assume would not be a good thing for a headache.
I always heard when you have a headache, drink water. Like, drink a lot of it, because you're probably dehydrated or
but maybe like going on. Not lukewarm, but room temperature water, not full of ice cubes.
Well, there were no ice cubes in the stream.
Well, I know, but if you're drinking cold water, like, in reality.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, the beginning of the episode really bothered me, because they talk about, like, again in the sketchy bridge, they say, if we fall, it's over. They fell, like, 100 feet before, and nothing happened to them. They've fallen way from higher heights than this, and their journey's still going. So, Again, with inconsistencies, Alex.
Thankfully, the plank that goes over the giant ridge was not a Melanie trap. It was a ninja gateway, true, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, it was. Oh, it was the training. Yeah, that is a good point. It is a train. It is balance training.
That's okay. What I assumed it was, anyway.
Yeah, good point. I didn't think about that.
They go through the ninja gym. They are a ninja mansion, I guess. They follow a Benenat in its annoying voice. Voltorbs keep exploding at them. I noted that this place is like a literal torture trap, and I thought of the H.H. Holmes Hotel murder trap. God. Did y'all think of that?
I went to my mind went to Saw.
Yeah, it was not a safe environment, and the fact that it's riddled with death and traps means, of course, it's a Kanto gym.
Those unregulated gyms.
At one point, they assume Ash has fallen out of the building and died.
He gets ninja stars thrown
at
him.
Yeah, he gets like pinned up on a wall with shuriken.
Yeah, if he was like a second over, or like one little foot over, he would have got stabbed in the eyeball.
Right.
Like Butters.
Ew.
He's pinned to the wall by Aya, the hot pink clad ninja, which I love. Naruto, did Naruto even exist at this point? Because I feel like they're already parodying Naruto with this bullshit.
I think so too. We need to research that as well. Like look it up and see what the timeline it was.
I'm on it.
It's funny when Alex mentioned the Naruto in her summary. I was actually getting that kind of vibe.
It was, well, it's the series is based on 2 one-shot manga, which was the first ones in 95 and 97.
Okay, this was 97.
The show ran from 99 to 2014, according to this Wikipedia article.
Okay, so I don't think it's a Naruto reference, but it does seem like it.
It's all around the same time.
Yeah. This was like when ninjas were popular, apparently, instead of zombies, so.
Aya, the ninja girl, is really scary, because she's like, I won't let you leave without a battle. Battle me. Ash beats Venonat with Bulbasaur.
And then Aya gets scolded by her...
Her brother, who appears to be her father, but...
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay, that confused everybody.
Yes,
too,
yes.
I was
yes.
like, is this her father?
Koga has a daughter in the games,
correct.
Right?
After this.
But, yes. Okay.
Janine,
that's right.
Who never appears in the anime ever.
Really?
Never.
Oh. Dang, okay.
So do you think this was like Janine was supposed to be Aya or like or what do you think happened? What's your theory, Austin?
Oh god. Well, this is so weird because like, she's visibly younger than him, probably because women aren't allowed to be older. And Koga's like an old man. Like, he's like 50, right? He's
older. Yeah, he looks like he has Touch of Grey going on.
Yeah.
You know?
And Aya's like 19, 20.
Yeah.
I thought she was younger than that.
Well, she could be, yeah. Been
16 is what I was thinking.
I mean, she could be Koga's sister, but that's not what I would
that's
assume.
That's a stretch.
Yeah.
That is a big stretch.
Is that like a translation thing where, you know, she calls him like big brother like they do as an honorific, just like a master type thing, and she's not really his sister? Is that maybe possible?
It may have been senpai, like senpai in Japanese or something like that. And they were like, that won't translate English. But they could have said like teacher or
I mean, that's what master. I'm saying. Maybe it's a localization thing where they just... She could have said teacher. I wish they had said teacher.
Bulletpedia said, apparently, she was raised by Koga since she was young. Well, I don't know where they got that from. She also has interest in poetry. What?
Oh, that's interesting. She probably writes a lot of poetry about death and destruction. She's an Edgar Allan Poe kind of person, I guess.
Huh,
that's weird, though. So this is like an adopted brother situation going on here, maybe?
God fucking knows. All I know is... She's not Janine from the games, who was introduced later, but it's very confusing that they have Koga have, in different media, multiple different young family members around
him. I
wish
that they would have just called her Janine and cleared up all sorts of confusion.
Also, point of note, Aya comes back during Johto, but Janine is never introduced. Weird.
That's
bizarre. Oh, yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
She continues to come back.
Yeah.
Koga doesn't.
No.
Whatever.
He handed the death trap off to her. It's her responsibility now. Which I guess she must have a good navigation ability of that house for it to be... Could you imagine stepping wrong? Like, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom. Wrong step.
I was so confused because at first I thought this was like their home, but it's actually a ninja training ground and also the gym, meaning presumably gym trainers have to find this unmarked location in the woods, not die, and then fight Koga, who won't let them leave unless he fights them.
You got to test your physical capabilities as well as your Pokemon capabilities.
Well, then I would not be able to get this badge.
Yeah, I thought it was a Japanese restaurant when I first saw it. But
that's what Team Rocket thought it was. Recapping battles is really boring. Koga has a Venonat too. It evolves into Venomoth. Ash battles it until Team Rocket attacks. Does a Kabuki
that
part. Yeah.
That annoyed me.
That Team Rocket
that
interrupted.
That annoyed me a lot. Yes, because I was like, okay, finally we get actual like a cool battle sequence going on. Because we haven't got one, I felt like, since Surge, really. Mm-hmm. Like an actual where they put some money into the animation for the battles. And I feel like we're going to rev up to that point. Then Team Rocket spoils it. So I was actually kind of a little upset with that and the direction they chose to go.
The battle was very, very underwhelming.
Yeah, they have not figured that shit out yet.
And no. Also, Bulbasaur knows Whirlwind.
Oh, did he?
Whirlwind. Yes.
Yes, he does use Whirlwind.
Ash is like, when he's fighting Aya the first time, before Team Rocket interrupts them, he's like, why did he choose Bulbasaur? I'll never understand it. But apparently it knows Whirlwind somehow.
Can it learn that in the game?
I don't know.
Sure.
Okay,
not.
I was making sure.
No. Well, I mean, there's been 8 generations of the game. It's maybe at some point.
That's true. It's probably like something now, but not then. It's kind of like Dragon Rage and what we were talking about the other day. The Dragon Rage
Twister.
And another move. Whirlpool. Twister, yeah. They just got confused.
Recapping. Sorry, Jacob, but I cut you off.
No, I was about to say, like, so Team Rocket comes in. Sorry.
Team Rocket comes in. They used the Voltorb for an escape, which made me feel so bad for the Voltorb. These poor creatures have to explode all the time.
Koga was absolutely useless, by the way.
Yes, he was.
Useless. I'm like, you're supposed to be a gym leader and a ninja master, and you're just standing there like a dumbstruck idiot. Like, just whatever.
All we know about Koga. Is that...
Cocaine.
Whoa.
Cocaine. All we know about this gym leader is that he just wants to escape. That's all he's good at is, like, escaping and trying to leave in deception. Like, he can't throw or do anything. He just...
Aya's a better ninja.
He's supposed to die. Yeah, like, Aya's a way better ninja.
They, like, escaped into a different room, but I missed when they did that. All of a sudden, they were just falling down, and Koga says, "This is a slanted room to confuse our enemies." And I wrote down, Koga, who are your enemies?
Other
Koga
ninja.
Would be useless in any other environment. He is, like, if he didn't have his toys and his, like, confusion rooms and his misconceptions, he would be useless. He couldn't fight. He can't do anything. He just sacrifices Voltorb, which, how did he get that many to begin with, to get out of tough situations?
I guess Team Rocket is able to outwit Koga with their spider web attack. And
oh, yeah.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, and... only the magic of Psyduck, who pops out of his ball by himself for, I think, the first time, he is able to unleash his psychic abilities to everyone's surprise, and which includes spider web melting abilities. Team Rocket is blasting off again. Aya and Koga both want Psyduck because they're opportunistic assholes. Misty says no. Brock makes a sexist comic that the heart of women are a fickle thing.
Yep.
Ash battles.
I thought...
Yeah, go on.
You talk about the spider web melting. I thought like that was going to take a real dark turn when like could Psyduck melt people if he got mad enough.
Probably.
If he's like he sits there and he's like so confused that he just
is Psyduck
like, you turn to goop.
The Jean Grey of Pokemon.
Right. You think everyone Jean Grey of Pokemon? If there's one thing we learned from Sabrina, it's that psychic abilities allow you to do everything.
There are limitless possibilities in the Pokemon universe.
I love that. He's the Jean Grey of Pokemon.
Oh my god, Dark Psyduck.
Oh my god.
Dark Psyduck.
I'm imagining him with like a red wig and shit.
He only has 3 hairs.
According to Missy, 3 red hairs.
3 hairs.
Oh my god, that was my quote.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I laughed so hard at that, the fact that they were referencing the cartoony design of Psyduck.
Yeah.
It wouldn't
oh
take too long to brush because he only has 3 hairs.
So good thing you got your quote out of the way early.
Yep. Anyway, Koga and Ash fight. Golbat versus Charmander. Charmander wins. Ash gets
that was
a soul
such
badge,
a pathetic fight.
And,
I'm sorry.
And then we never see Koga again.
That's fine with
but
me.
But we do see Aya again.
Rip Koga. I think I like to think that Koga like happened earlier when he misstepped one night, and a Voltorb exploded on him, or a Ninja Star got him, and then Aya had to take over.
Were these Voltorb? I was under the impression that they were Koga's Voltorb. So the fact that they were attacking Koga also and Aya kind of confused me, but whatever.
They're like prisoner Voltorb.
Yeah. God. One was underneath the floorboard, just sitting there. When they first walk in, it kicks up a floorboard, and one's just sitting there waiting to. I guess he was like a mine or something. If you stepped wrong, it just exploded under your foot.
Poor thing.
Yeah, what a weird.
All right, that's all. I really have nothing to say about this one. It was just a wacky misadventure that wasn't as wacky as it probably could have been.
We got to see Pidgeotto.
That's the highlight.
Yeah.
Finally. We're kind of getting this routine now where we see Pidgeotto every 3 episodes or something like that instead of never. I guess now we can move on to our most valuable player and least valuable players, along with our inspirational quotes. Let's do the randomizer. It is Alex, me, and then Austin.
Okay. I guess I'll give my MVP to Jessie. And the reason for that being that she had, well, it's kind of my quote too, but her flawless use of alliteration in this episode. And that was my quote. So she says that they're talking about, you know, breaking into the Ninja Mansion. And Jessie says, "Poisonous Pokemon are positively perfect for perfidious people like us."
That's pretty good.
And James says, "What does that mean?" And Jessie says, she throws him a thorned rose and she says, "It means beautiful things can be painful." And I was like, damn, Jessie, okay. I really liked her in this episode. There. I know.
I'm sorry, can I interrupt? With an, yes. I have an interjection about that.
Yes.
I wrote down, oh my god, this is the cardinal sin for Team Rocket, this moment right here.
Why?
Because, I mean, they do this in the 4Kids hub sometimes, where they're like, have long stretches of alliteration lines, because I guess they're supposed to be like, artistes, or whatever. After 4Kids leaves, do y'all not remember this? Team Rocket gets so fucking annoying. They're always doing alliteration and, like, stupid shit like that all the time, and it drives me bananas.
I do know exactly what you're talking about now.
The execution isn't done well. The 4Kids dub makes it entertaining and fun.
I think it's fun when they do it once in a while, but there's a point where that's literally every word out their mouths is, like, bullshit. And
just wait till we get to the, what is it, their motto in black and white?
Oh, Christ.
Is it, oh, God.
Dumping the hammer of justice on the black whiteness of the universe.
Whatever.
Thundering.
It was terrible.
Anyway, sorry.
I just thought this was, it was clever. But Jacob, you were saying something.
Oh, no, I was agreeing with Austin. I was like, yeah, they get terrible. Like, rewatching this, I'm realizing that James is my favorite character. And then, like, seeing that go to what it becomes, I get a little sadder with each episode.
So,
but not to have too much melancholy here. You can continue, Alex.
We got several years of 4Kids Team Rocket to come. Yeah. We're good for now. Yeah,
we have to relish it while we can. So the LVP for this episode, I put Misty, because she was just a little bitch to Psyduck the whole time until it could actually do something. And then she's like, oh, Psyduck, you're the best. I wouldn't trade you for anything. And I'm like, you only said that after the fact. You treated it like garbage this whole time, making fun of its 3 hairs and how useless it is. And you only cared about it after the fact. So that wasn't very good Pokemon trainery of her. And yeah, so and my quote was the thing from before. So,
all right. With my MVP, I was gonna go with Psyduck, but I think I'm gonna go with Voltorb.
Oh.
Mainly because I feel like they were kind of abused a little bit, and they just did the bidding of Koga, Coco, whatever, gym leader, and I don't know. I just found it bad because they were dying. Because there's one scene where one rolls out there and it explodes and the smoke clears and it's just gone. And I'm not saying it's true, but I think I saw a little bit of red dust on the ground.
So is it like it exploding? Voltorb is like a bee. If it stings you, like it if it stings you, it dies. Yes. Like if it explodes, yeah, exactly. It dies.
It just kept self-destructing itself. Oh. And there's like, I don't know how it's not an endangered species if every single time it like gets startled, it just kills itself. But
what even is a Voltorb? How does it even, like, how does it come to be?
I mean, there's that whole mythology about like first appeared in a Pokeball factory and we'll get there someday.
Okay. What's that, like, a really awful city we just came
Gringy
from?
Gringy City?
Yeah, I think that's where Voltorb came from. There's a Pokeball factory there, and it just mutated with all the sludge.
They all rolled downhill to Koga's mansion.
Yeah, they just rolled there. And then my my LVP is Weezing and Arbok. I know they were my MVP the previous episode, but they're my LVP now, is because we get this really cool introduction with them when the room explodes and they like come in there and we see them for the first time. But then freaking stupid Team Rocket shoots spider webs out of their hands instead of actually using them to battle. So that felt bad for them and that pissed me off. So they're my LVP. And then move along here to my quote. I referenced it a little earlier, is when they look over the hill and James goes, huh, it looks like a Japanese restaurant. So, once again, James, you prove yourself as being my favorite character with some of your comments.
Lord, he really is your favorite.
He is. I love James.
My MVP for this episode is going to go to Psyduck. Thank you for freeing him up for me. All Psyduck did was try to drink some water. Misty gave him all this shit. And then he unleashed his unbelievable strength and his ability to solve things through the power of plot devices. So good for him, good for his cool glowing blue eyes and all that, and his three hairs. My LVP goes twice in a row. It goes to Dexter because Dexter says it doesn't have any information on Voltorb. And I'm like, is this fucking three episodes in a row where the Pokédex doesn't have anything to say about the Pokémon? I'm sick of it. Fuck you, Dexter. I miss you back in episode one. You were way more fun back then.
And you were snarkier.
You used to have a personality. What happened, Dexter? Yeah. Dexter has fucking given up. He does not care. He's like, put me away. I'm done.
Is there a reason for that? Is it just the writers, like, trying to keep this air of mysteriousness to the weirder Pokemon, like, you know, Magnemite and Dugtrio and like the weirder ones? It's just, and the and any dragon Pokemon apparently that shows up, it's just too much mystery behind it. I don't know.
Pokemon, like, why couldn't it say, sorry, what? Oak, I said dragon Pokemon.
Oak just programmed it to keep the kids,
oh,
like,
sorry, oh, Bill. Like,
Bill, that's right.
I was like, what, why are you just, oh, yelling that out? Pokemon, come back. I don't know. It's just, they could say anything. They could have said, like you said earlier, Austin, just, it's a mysterious, you know, inanimate object come to life, you know, rumor that it's a Pokeball in disguise or something. Oh, I don't know.
Voltorb, it shocks you, it explodes. I could be the fucking Pokédex.
Yeah, careful of this Pokemon, it'll explode if you know, harass it or something. But
it always has angry eyes.
No matter where you go.
All right, and my quote was the three hairs.
Oh, goodness. I love that little reference in there. Breaking the fourth wall a little bit.
Could you imagine Pokemon, like some of these Pokemon in real life, like if you saw a completely, like, featherless duck, why don't they call them feathers? You know what? That's a good point. They call them hairs, but wouldn't it be feathers?
That's true.
Used to be human.
But anyway, what if you saw a completely featherless duck with, like, rubbery skin with just, like, three feathers poking out of its head? That'd be terrifying.
Constantly rubbing its head. Yeah. Like this.
Y'all should look in the chat because I actually have the canonical answer to that.
That fact that it has hairs and not feathers?
No, I have a canonical answer to what Psyduck looks like in real life.
Oh yeah. Oh, my God. That's actually pretty good.
That's horrifying.
I do not like that, but I respect it.
Is this from the Detective Pikachu movie?
Yes, that's from the Detective Pikachu movie.
So it looks like it has yellow feathers.
Yeah, I think like they all have like textures like that. Here's another one where we see the hairs. The hairs look
Ew, I hate
scary.
it.
Aww. Oh.
This thing is. Why do I not remember Psyduck even appearing in that
It
movie?
was like a major one, yeah.
Yeah, it was the main character.
Maybe it's because it's so horrifying looking.
The fact that its eyes are still the same big white eyes with tiny little black, that's really scary. That doesn't look right.
They could have made it a little bit more not terrifying.
It's just in this picture you see the major contrast between Psyduck's eyes are so tiny and beady, and then you've got Pikachu's eyes that are just like nothing but the black. Oh, here we go. There's another one. Yeah, again. It's just the
Psyduck was
and it's
weird.
like
of the eyes. Yeah.
nose holes.
I think they put a lot of effort into Pikachu because Pikachu looks amazing in that movie. And I think they were like, oh, we'll just take some money out of the Psyduck budget for Pikachu.
I mean, I remember Mewtwo looking decent, but the
I kind
Psyduck,
of want to reflect on the fact that there was a live-action Pokemon movie, and I feel like it made no impact whatsoever on anyone.
no, I thought it was
I thought it was
good. I liked
I liked
it.
it, but I feel like we always forget it exists.
We do. I have actually have that movie, and I was like looking through my collection of the day, and I was like, "Huh, oh yeah, I do have that movie." And Ryan Reynolds is actually in this movie. I keep forgetting about that too, that he is actually the main character of the movie.
I literally
So.
forgot about this movie, Austin, 100%. So,
We'll get there when we get there one
yeah.
day.
One day, one day. I don't know, do you guys have anything else left to say, or do you want to wrap it up, or any closing thoughts?
Not about that episode.
Who are Koga's enemies?
That's right. Who are we? We are.
We are Koga's enemies?
We can be. I'm good for it.
Oh, I did have some thoughts actually. I forgot all
Ooh.
about this. The problem that I have with two major things, well, in my mind major, but maybe not so major. So first, the soul badge versus the marsh badge.
All right.
Why are they not switched? Like Koga gives out the soul badge and Sabrina gives out the marsh badge. Those things should be switched.
And I'm gonna speculate your second
And
thing is also about things being switched.
yes, and I know what you're gonna say, and I know, it's been 20 years and it is what it is, but you will never convince me otherwise that Venonat and, Butterfree are supposed to be related. It's supposed to be Venonat and Butterfree and not Caterpie to Butterfree. Like, if you just look at it, you can't
The
convince me.
eyes. The eyes and the antenna.
The mouth, the hands, the antenna, the eyes, everything about it's purple for God's sake. I mean, you can't convince me that they didn't accidentally switch Butterfree and Venomoth. Because Caterpie, I mean, look at Caterpie and look at Venomoth. Its eyes, its little horn things. So what happened with that?
They did the games. The data from the games got mixed up and they just shipped it out and they were like, oh, well, I guess we gotta go with
I
this.
really appreciate how this episode makes a point to show Venonat evolving into Venomoth to be like, aha! It's supposed to
Told you
evolve
so.
And
You were
Braca's stupid
wrong!
comment that you mentioned for the last episode. It's was that a metamorphosis
Oh,
attack?
yeah.
No.
No, yeah.
Brock is off
We
his
should mention that.
game. Jesus Christ, Brock.
Yep.
Get it together.
He can't read a map. He doesn't know anything about Pokemon. He doesn't know when an attack is an attack. Oh, good
Grown
lord.
women are calling him sir.
It's
Oh, poor Brock.
clearly, Venonat is supposed to be Butterfree's evolutionary line. Like, it just makes me so mad.
Alrighty. I guess that wraps up this episode. Remember, audience, you can, before we go, let's plug our social media and, I guess, email. You can contact us at outofthedryingpan@gmail.com if you have any questions or comments about the episode. Also, comment in the comment section of the Apple Podcast app. I don't know if you can comment in Google or not, but if you can, please do. And remember to follow us on Twitter. That's outofdryingpan on Twitter, outofdryingpan. Give us a follow and be sure to like our post.
I like how on the Twitter you can tell who posted which post based on the tone of voice and style.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. That is a good question. Guess, who posted it in the comment section of Twitter. It could be Alex, me, or Austin. And if it looks like a lot of work was put into it, I can guarantee you it was not me. So, just to be fair. All right. With all that said, be sure to join us next time as the journey continues.